All right. Well, good morning, everyone. We're all rested up after the walks and burn hot dogs. tossed it in the fire pit. No, that was a wonderful day yesterday. You know, typical Oregon fall. Love the mist. It's wonderful. Well, turn with me. We'll turn to 1 Peter, and we're going to look today at the next segment of this in chapter 4, and we're going to finish with we talked about being slandered. We're going to look at the blessings of God, or blessing of God, and it's verse 6, and it follows on from 3 to 5, and closed it out, but we'll read verses 5 and 6 for this one. It says, "Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, again, we're so thankful for the blessings of your word. Father, we're thankful for the truth. We're thankful that you have preserved that word for us. Father, we thank you that we can look into it and know that there is an absolute truth in your word. The world wants to diminish that. And we're thankful, Father, that we can use it wisely in our lives. Father, as we study it, we can study it many times and each time come with something new and apply it to our lives and realize that we had not seen that before and understand it. We thank you for just Peter who took the time to pen this letter to those lost tribes. But it applies to each and every born-again Christian. And we thank you, Father, that we can look into this. We thank you for the teachings of it. Thankful for each one that's here and those that are joining online. Father, I just pray that this verse and these verses that we're going to look into, we can apply them to our lives and live a life that's honoring to you. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, like I said, when we left off with verse 5, you know, it seems I kind of begin with a question. And verse, we talk about that slandering. And it says, "When you consider the judgment of the slanderers, whom do you feel sorrier? The slanderers? Or the believers, they're slandering." And it's interesting when you think about that, we should have pity on both. One, the slanderers, most of them, if they're saved, they're definitely backsliding. But most are not saved. And we know that we need to preach to them. And when we look at these verses, 5 and 6, it talks about the quick and the dead. And the quick being the living. Peter equates that to those that are living at the time that it's being preached, and talking about the dead being those that have died hearing the preaching that might got saved. And you can really apply this in two ways. Those that are quickened, alive in Christ, and those that are dead in Christ that died with the Scripture. And then, of course, you can talk about the living that are physically living and those that are dead to Christ. So you can apply both of them, and when you look at the word dead, it really talks about a physical death. It's what it is. But when we're lost, we're dying. We're still dying, I mean, physically and in this world. I mean, the world's crumbling away, and we can, maybe I'll have a lesson together talking about the laws of thermodynamics. My career was built around the laws of thermodynamics, but that's how this world is around. When they realized those laws, God had already talked about them a long time ago when he created Earth. One thing that we created with the fall of man was that we are deteriorating. We're dying. From the minute that we're born, we're dying. There's, I guess, if you could pull our foot up and look on them, there's a barcode on there that has an expiration date. Only God knows that date. We don't. Some keep trying to figure out what it is and tempt it by doing silly things. And, you know, I've seen those memes where, you wonder, you know, how did I get to this age? God must have been looking out for me when I was young and stupid. And, you know, realize that, you know, to get to, you know, an age, we do stupid things growing up. And we still do them. We tempt fate a lot of times. But here in verse 6, where Peter's talking about, for this cause was a gospel preached also to them that are dead, the book talks about the people that died knowing Christ. And you can read through a variety of commentators, and they can come up with a variety of descriptions about this, but they all come up to the consensus that it's a physical death. And they equate, like what we mentioned earlier about, you know, dead to Christ or alive in Christ and dead to the world. And really, when it talks about the proclamation of the gospel of those that are alive prior to Peter's writing, but died by the time he wrote them. You know, so this letter wasn't going, obviously, to them. He didn't stick it in their coffin or put it under the wraps that were being put in the tombs. But he died, you know, when he was talking about that, they became Christians, but they were subject to the persecutions that we've been talking about in a lot of our studies. Seems when, you know, like in James, talked about suffering. Peter, almost the whole series of his letters talk about sufferings of the Jews. Paul pointed out the sufferings that the Christian church, the Gentiles, were going to be going through. And so it's such that the men that are on this earth are going to judge us. We've talked a little bit about that as well. But what we talk about, it's difficult because it means those who heard and believed were judged as guilty by their persecutors. As far as the world's concerned, we're guilty. We can hear that now. I mean, with the current things that are going on in the world. Who's being accused of the war with Israel? Israel's being accused of creating that problem. When in reality, you know, films and videos don't lie. But we know that they're going to be challenged. They've been challenged all through history. Christians are going to be challenged because people don't like the fact that God is in control. The world doesn't want God to be in control. And the more that we're able to share with the world the gospel, the more we're going to be persecuted, the more we're going to be pointed out as being, oh, look at those people, they're hypocrites. They don't know what they're talking about. On and on and on, all sorts of lies. But what it really comes down to is God is the righteous judge. Verse 5 talked about he who is ready, as it says, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Christ is just patiently waiting for that time when God calls all the Christians up in the rapture, and then we're going to be judged for our actions here on as a Christian. And then the world's going to be judged later at that great white throne for a whole number of things, but probably the biggest one, the first one, is going to be, you could have been saved. You could have at this point in life and maybe showed them several times. I don't know. But they're going to carry that off into eternity where we are going to stand in judgment, are going to be ushered into eternity in heaven with and live a life with Christ, worshiping Him, God, and a whole life there. It says, those heard and believed the gospel of salvation stood declared and justified before God, whereas the persecutors of Christians will still face their judgment. And as you go through a lot of these, and they're now dead in body, but they remain very much alive in the spirit. And that's so very important for us to understand that we have eternal life. As while we're on this earth, yep, the old body's getting decrepit. You know, I see my skin wrinkling, and I, you know, look at it, and it's like, you know, I could bump something, and I get a bruise, or sometimes if I don't have my little sleeves on when I go in the garage, I come back in looking for a Band-Aid because I peeled that skin up, and, you know, my wife gets all upset when I forget to do that. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Or if I don't have a hat on, I bump my head. I'm Some of us already know what it's like when there's a little extra skin up here and something reaches up and taps us. But Matthew Henry also noted this, and this is in here, that some understood this difficult places for this cause the gospel preached. It says, to all the faithful of old who are now dead in Christ, that thereby that they might be taught and encouraged to bear the unrighteous judgments and persecutions, that rage of men that put upon them. Some of these, you know, that the author of the lesson pointed out, many of them died before Peter was able to write this. But he wrote it in assurance that those that did die didn't die in vain, that when they died, they knew that the persecution was, I really can't say understandable, but it's part of what we're going to live through. We're going to be persecuted. You know, we asked that question earlier, you know, who's ever been persecuted or been pointed out, and it's an obvious thing that that's what's going to happen. But the gospel was preached to them, and that Matthew Henry pointed out some of from the spiritual sense as well, but he made a couple of conclusions with it, that he says the mortifying of our sins and living God are the expected effects of the gospel preached to us. And then the second one was that God will certainly reckon with all those who have had the gospel preached to them, but without these good effects produced by it, God is ready to judge all those who have received the gospel in vain. And those, it says, no matter how we're judged according to men in the flesh, if we do but live according to God in the Spirit. So, you know, there are those that won't accept the gospel, no matter how many times it's preached to them. In fact, I think I remember John R. Rice had a sermon that he printed, I think it was back in the 40s, that says, some of the saddest words you'll ever hear. And some of them are when somebody goes, I don't want that. Or, well, I think I could have, and find out that it was too late for the person. You know, some people say, I want to get things straight before I accept Christ. Well, sometimes at a funeral, it's like, yep, he got it straight, but now he has to live with those reactions. And we don't know that. You know, we can talk with people. We can share the gospel with people. God knows when they're going to be saved. That person knows when they get saved. I know when I got saved. And I know that it was a true understanding of, I know that I'm no longer going to hell. I didn't fully understand everything that came with it. Some 50 years later, I now understand more so about it. But the pastor mentioned that John Gill, I guess he was the preacher with, or the pastor at the church that Spurgeon was at. But he says, that it says, it's not for what goes before, because Christ was ready to judge the quick and the dead, verse 5, and because the wicked men must give an account to him, and therefore the gospel is preached to them also, that they might be without excuse. That's one thing that people that have heard the gospel, when you've shared the gospel with somebody, given a tract, they are now without excuse. When they stand before Christ the judge, there's no excuse. And I really believe he's going to point it out. He says, you got a tract from this person back at this time here. You heard the gospel from this person. You were nice and went to church and heard the gospel there, and yet you rejected it. They're going to hear that for the rest of eternity. And as he goes through there, he says, by the gospels meant the good news of the incarnation, sufferings and death of Christ, and the salvation by him that includes all the doctrines of grace, as of a pardon, righteousness, and eternal life. And by its being preached is meant the publishing of it openly, freely, and boldly, with faithfulness and consistent the persons to whom it was preached. And it says they're dead up until that point, that spiritual death. But in a figurative sense, dead in trespasses and sin. And this cause of all mankind and of God's elect in a state of nature, whether Jew or Gentiles. And that's the beautiful thing about salvation. Doesn't care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. I think it was pointed out, I don't know whether it was Pastor or one of them, maybe Travis pointed out, Abraham was a Gentile until God said, nope, this is going to be the tribe after that. And he pointed out, and as he goes through there, there are many that keep adding some, the Catholics grab on, well, you know, you can preach to the dead. You know, there's some of them going to be called up, and after a certain number of years or whatever, they're going to finally be able to be reconciled in a second chance. That's blasphemy. That's you know, it's a teaching that gives people a false hope. There are no second chances after you take your last breath. When we accept Christ as our Savior, it's sealed, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, those that have been around people that have canned foods and taken that jar of whatever they've canned and put a lid on and put it in a hot bath or a pressure cooker, take it out and set it on the shelf, they hear that ding when the thing pops down. That thing's sealed. Sadly, sometimes those seals don't hold. Well, I'm thankful that the seal that's given to us as a Christian is going to hold for eternity. It's going to, you know, when we get to heaven, God's going to pop the top off and we get that new body, and it's wonderful. I'm kind of waiting for Monday. My wife and I made some sauerkraut. We're going to see how it turns out. Oh, it's great. Oh, you would. It smelled really good when I was putting it together. But, you know, and when you think about just how, as a Christian, that understand, you know, we don't fully understand how we are sealed. I mean, you can look and in this commentary that Gil put together, he pointed out from the fall of Adam, the gospel was being preached, right up until the last person that's on their knees accepts Jesus Christ. So all through history, the gospel's preached the same way. People get saved only one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. No other way. Don't, oh, you know, I got to do this to maintain it. No. You know, when you can something and you put it on the shelf, you don't have to go up and reseal it. You know, like open a Ziploc bag and seal it back up again. You know, it's sealed. And that's what our eternity is. It's sealed for an eternity. And Gil goes on to mention that about the judging. This is meaning either that such persons that, you know, they might be judged according to men in the flesh, that such persons that received and profess the gospel and suffer for it are judged according to the judgment of men that are in the flesh in an unregenerate estate, that is carnal men, to be strange and unaccountable sort of people, like you mentioned in 1 Peter 4:4, which said, whereby they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Men are going to judge us. We mentioned that many times. But it says to receive a set of notions, strange set of notions, so strenuously to contend for them and so constantly to abide by them and to debar themselves as of many pleasures of life and expose themselves to many, too much such reproach and shame, to such dangers, even death itself, while they are judged to be by these men enthusiasts, madmen, and fools, and other times to be knaves and villains, hypocrites and deceivers. And this is the common effect of the gospel being preached and the coming with power to any. So, you know, we can look at them. I mean, Pastor on Wednesday night was pointing out the apostasy that's being taught by so many people. You know, the world is preparing itself for a Christless church. They're going to start looking at religion and accept all sorts of things except for Jesus Christ. They're being prepared for that. And that is so sad. Satan is just enjoying himself. You know, he knows that he can't get the Christian, but he knows that he doesn't have to do much for the average man. He just hates it when a Christian takes his time, shares the gospel with somebody, that it patiently and lovingly shares that gospel, not out there, you know, beating them about the head and shoulders, you know, pointing out their flaws and this and that. That'll be evident to the person when they get saved. I mean, when I got saved, and I think each one of us realized that we were wretched. We were reprobates. There was nothing good in us. The world, you know, when they saw that change, figured it was going to be a flash in the pan, what we talked about last week. But when we think about that we're going to live according to the God and the Spirit, and while we're here on earth, that is going to be the challenge. We're taking the gospel. That's why we're left here. You know, our missionaries going into so many countries. I think of so many that are going into Muslim countries, and especially now, you know, when the Muslims are their whole goal, at least with the terror groups, their idea is, you know, kill the Jews and get rid of anybody that wants to speak the gospel, and that's their whole goal in life. I don't want to serve a God like that. And I'm thankful that we have a God that is so, I won't say mamby-pamby, because he's got the strength of the creation, but yet he loves us dearly and tenderly. You know, it's fun to watch, little Eric growing up and watching, you know, the nurturing that he has, or when Corbin, you know, any of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we can look at them and watch them grow and see the dear love that's shown to them. God shows even more toward us because we do, well, sadly, we do our best to not please God oftentimes. We'll forget about him. You know, I mean, I had to chuckle. There was a guy who says, you know, it would be wonderful if we treated our Bible like our cell phones. And there was a video of him. He'd sit down every minute, picked up his Bible and started reading it. Then he went over and got a cup of coffee, picked up his Bible and started reading. Sat down at his table, picked up his Bible and started reading. You know, I was like, oh, that's an encouragement. Maybe he would, you know. And it's wonderful, you know, to get in the habit. And I know it's a challenge sometimes, because we get so busy. And the world enjoys watching us get busy. But I love it when we hear about somebody who goes, hey, you know, I read such and such. This is what I got out of it, and share it. And it's exciting because it's like, oh, I never saw that. Wow, I'm going to have to go check that out. And it's exciting. You know, like Sunday nights going through the Minor Prophets, go home and my wife goes, you know, that made that really clear. I thought that was great. You know, pick up some point of it. But we look at verse 6 here as kind of a finishing out this portion, but there was a summary that I ran across. I love reading Tim LaHaye's Dealing with Prophecy, and this portion talks about verses 4, 5, and 6, and it says, the judge of the living and dead, and it says, those who do not know Christ think it strange that the believer does not run with them in their sin, their excess riot. They malign the Christian and disparage his walk with Christ. The point is that Gentiles are now watching these Jewish believers, and that's what was happening in their culture. They were watching these people. They were a little different from us. Well, they already knew the Jews were a little bit different. He said, but this other group, this identified as the way, oftentimes, these Christians, they are really different. And it says, the point is that Gentiles are now being watched, watching these Jewish believers. They think it very strange that the Jewish believers didn't act the same manner as the Gentiles do. They didn't want to worship some of the gods that they had. Therefore, they begin to attack the believers by speaking evil of you. This is what one commentator who wrote out. And it says, however, those who shall give an account to him is ready to judge the quick and the dead, all generations of all ages will answer to the Lord. Believers will be justified not by their goodness, but by because their sins have been covered by the blood of Christ. And then, you know, you look at back in chapter 2, verse 24, says, you know, by those whose stripes we are healed. We're healed by that. And the gospel was preached to those who have died and passed on. Those who have accepted him as Savior will live according to God in the flesh. As verse 6 pointed out, the believer has a future different from that facing the lost. For those who trust in Christ, the penalty of sins have been paid in full. The death and resurrection of Jesus guarantees the final coming judgment for the unbeliever, but for the believer it is an encouragement to live spiritually. And it's something that we get to look forward to as Christians, that we're gonna live a life that is beyond our full understanding. We cannot comprehend. I mean, we look around and we look at, you know, the changing of the colors around us. We watch, you know, the sun come up in the morning and the sun go down when it's not overcast and cloudy. But, you know, you think of like last week when they had that eclipse. You know, they made jokes about, you know, seeing it in Oregon. Well, some lady had a digital camera. She says, you know, I looked through the filters here. I see it really good. She got some beautiful pictures. Somebody caught some that if you looked at the way when it got to the center apex, all these light rays came out and they all crossed each other. They were all little diamonds in the sky. And it wasn't a filter. It was just how the clouds happened to pick it out. We've got a God that just shows us so many beautiful things around us. I can only imagine what he's going to do when we get into heaven. I mean, there's, you know, the colors are, you know, I love looking out here and seeing colors and how brilliant they are. And looking out at the ocean, how blue it is. And then how sometimes how gray it is. But in heaven, it's going to be even more so. We live in such a way that we are just in awe. But as we go along, in the next portion that I'll just touch on, we're going to see the believer's conduct in view of the end times. And it's, we really think about that. Verse 7 is what we're going to begin with. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And as we look at this, a question comes up. How have you allowed the any moment return of Christ affect how seriously you take living for him? That's a challenge. Any minute, any second, imminent, no warning. I mean, next breath, it could happen. How does that affect us and how we live? Some of us just go on, it's just fine. I think it was a pastor talked about some lady that was concerned about Christ's imminent coming because she has so many lost family members. That should encourage us to want to share the gospel, not to be beating somebody up, but willing to just lovingly share the gospel. Maybe sometimes when we, you know, family members, oh no, there he goes again. But when you point out to him, he says, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing it because God loves you. And, you know, I hear stories all the time of a person's at wit's end. And somebody just happened to be at the right point at the right time. Gave them a gospel tract or maybe shared a verse of scripture with them or just sat down and talked with them, realizing that that person was planning on going home and ending their life. And realizing that that word that you shared with them or maybe the tract that you shared with them turned them around. And you get to see that person in heaven. There are people that I know that tracts have been given out to that we're going to see in heaven because they took the time to read and ask Christ to save them. There are those that we know that have slandered us, that probably said the most awful things about us. Hopefully we didn't understand them or hear them. But a lot of times we just need to say, okay, it comes with the territory, Lord. It hurts. But God can take care of those that hurt. And he puts his arm around us and walks us through there. We don't know. That person might get saved. And as a result, we'll hear that. You know, it's like, you know, how many years have passed since Peter wrote these? How many people have read this letter long before King James translators put it together? You know, they didn't have a printing press back then. I don't know, how many letters did he actually print or, you know, write up? He sent them to the churches or to the lost tribes, so that meant more than one copy was written. But they went out there and they reached a multitude. And when we think about how Christ is going through here, that the multitude of people that have read this, heard these words, and realized that the end is near. Some, it caused them to commit suicide. Others, it encouraged them saying that it's near. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I need to get busy and share the gospel. You know, I'm thankful that, you know, my wife and I are seeing family members and friends come to know Christ or to get their lives right with Christ and get back in church and to know that. We never know that impact, but, you know, our conduct in the end times, we should be in such a way that the gospel is ready to come off our lips at any moment. You know, there's times and places when you go, okay, it's really not appropriate to speak this out. But there are times when we're encouraged to do that, and sometimes we just, Lord, I can't do that. We just let the Holy Spirit guide and direct us. You know, and as we look through there, it starts out that nearness is close at hand. And we need to keep that as we venture into this portion. And so I'm going to close this a little bit, a couple minutes early, and we'll run the morning service. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness and patience with each and every one of us. And Father, we know that at any moment, you can call us all home. And you'll usher in that horrible time for the world. And Father, we know that we're kept here so that we can share the gospel. And that our account, our conduct should be impeccable. But yet, we know that we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. And I'm thankful, Father, that you reach down, you pick us up, you knock the dirt off from us, you put your arm around us and get us onto that next step. And Father, we're encouraged by that. We're encouraged by others that share the gospel, the fellowship with us. And Father, I'm encouraged by each and every one that's here, by their attitude, their conduct, and their willingness to share the gospel as often as possible. Father, I pray now that you take us in the morning service. Keep our hearts open and in tune for what you'd have us to learn and put into our lives, that we will be better and stronger and wiser servants for you. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name.